Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Speak On It, History and Genealogy Conversations with Janice and Cherikana. We invite you to join us on Thursdays at 8 p.m. for an engaging exchange with us and our special guest as we cover various topics regarding history, genealogy, and your personal family history stories.
Hello, I'm Janice Gilliard.
And I'm Cherikana Feliciano. Welcome to Speak On It, History and Genealogy Conversations with Janice and Cherikana. Thank you for joining us, and please be sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook. Today, we are joined by our guest, Dr. Evelyn McDowell.
Dr. Evelyn McDowell is an associate professor and chair of the Department of Accounting. Dr. McDowell is also the president of National Society Sons and Daughters of the United States Middle Passage, a lineage society dedicated to the memory of enslaved and freed people of African descent. Welcome to Speak On It, Dr. Evelyn McDowell.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. I am so honored to be on your show. I've listened to it, and every single episode that I have had a pleasure to listen to has just been amazing. So I'm just honored to be
here.
Thank you.
Oh, I love to hear that. Thank you. So we'll get started, with the first question. During your career at Rider University, how and when did you discover that the Van Cleve Alumni House was named after Benjamin Van Cleve? And can you share with our listeners a little bit about who he was?
Sure. I'm trying to figure out the exact time I learned about this history, but I do recall someone just telling me in passing that Rider was situated on top of a once plantation, and it was pretty amazing at that time. I remember them telling me this, but mm-hmm. It wasn't until we actually I was called to be on this task force called the History of Slavery on Rider's campus. So I was asked to be on the task force, and then we kind of found out, that he was a slave owner, to what extent that he was one. So mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think of the exact moment, but it kind of evolved over time. And, it was an evolution. Let's put it that way.
Right, right. And can you share with, who he was, a little bit about who Benjamin Van Cleve was?
Sure, absolutely. Okay. Van Cleve, Benjamin Van Cleve, was born in 1739 and in New Jersey. He served as a Revolutionary War soldier. He was a captain and a major. Mm-hmm. He was also a legislature, in the New mm-hmm. Jersey legislature. He was an assemblyman. He was a speaker. He was a justice of the peace at one time. He was a judge. He was well known at his time for being, a servant in terms of, his servitude to his state,
right.
Which brings us to the servitude of the enslaved people that he held.
What I thought was interesting, during one of our previous conversations was that Rider was on, we're focusing on the Alumni House, but knowing you shared with us that Rider was actually a plantation, I thought that was interesting. I mean, with history, you learn something new every day. Moving on mm-hmm. to our next question, in one of the articles we read when the task force was formed in July 2020, Rider University President Gregory Bellomo said that to continue honoring a person, Van Cleve, while also living in ignorance of such appalling facts, as Van Cleve's ownership of slaves is simply no longer acceptable. And, you know, then there's the question, what were the appalling facts?
Well, you know, there were some other facts that came out. We were fortunate enough to have the historian for the area. She's also a faculty member, and she is also the associate dean at Rider. She's the co-chair. And she had uncovered some facts about how he supported some local people in the area as they, murdered a young woman, and he supported them, bailed them out. But for me, the biggest problem was the fact that he was a slaveholder. And, to me, that was enough, for us to really move forward, to put his, to take his name from, the Van Cleve House.
Right, and he was also like a staunch, you know, he wanted to have increased restrictions too on the enslaved, you know, so he very stubborn in it as well, which is adding salt to the wound.
Supported it wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So there were a number of times
he
voted. Yeah, I'm sorry. They said that Van Cleve, his final vote on the issue dealing with slavery, like he just constantly fought, you know, like voted against freeing people. You know, that was the other part of it that was interesting.
Right.
Yes, absolutely. But for me, like I said, I as soon as I found out he was a slaveholder, I knew in my mind that, you know, it would be very, very difficult to keep his name on that, on the house. As a matter of fact, he actually lived in a portion of that house, which is interesting. But the house has been remodeled, and it doesn't look anything like that, you know, it looked when he lived there, but a portion of the house that he actually lived in is like inside that house. It was built around this newer house that you see was built around the framing of the old house. So that's interesting.
Oh, that is interesting.
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we know you well, and we've attended several talks and presentations where you've shared to correct historical narratives, right? Especially with the topic of slavery. Can you share a little bit with our listeners about the history of slavery in New Jersey?
Yeah, as you mentioned, you know, I am an accounting professor, so someone might want to know, like, how did you get in history? Well, it turned out that I always had a love for genealogy. And if you like genealogy, if you love the genealogy, you know, history is just right next to it. So I changed my research focus because I wanted to do more with genealogy and working with sons and daughters, which we'll talk about a little later. And so, I decided that I wanted to do more of that research. And then, one day I was, as I was doing some of this research, I found this list of abandoned children, abandoned black children who were enslaved, and that kind of started me. And so as a result of this new direction of my research, I started to do more research into the history of New Jersey slavery. When I was growing up, you know, we barely learned about slavery. To know that New Jersey was one of the last places to end slavery, and it was a big slaveholding. In terms of numbers, you know, we're talking the high is about 13,000. Started really in 1624 when the Dutch brought in enslaved people, and over time it went to almost 13,000. The number. But if you add them up since 1624 all the way up until 1865, you know, we're talking about thousands and thousands of people who were enslaved in New Jersey. Slavery was concentrated in Bergen County, Essex, Hunterdon, Middlesex, Monmouth, and Summit counties. So Perth Amboy and Camden were major ports of entry. Slavery didn't end until 1865 with the passage of the 13th Amendment. So it's just pretty surprising. Many people don't know that. And when I give my talks, I'm always was shocked, but then now I'm not anymore. So, but I do want to say New Jersey did have an 1804. In 1804, they did try to pass, or they did pass, a gradual abolition act, and that's where the abandoned children came from. So again, that kind of started me on this path of trying to learn as much as I can about New Jersey slavery.
Right. You know what? I went to school here, and nobody, and being taught the little bit that I was taught about slavery, nobody ever talked about New Jersey. And I remember Frank Godlewski, who's a friend, to our local Ox chapter and just a great, great New Jersey historian. And he started talking about the Meadowlands and giving the history. And I'm like, what? And then when you did your presentation, I just couldn't believe it. I mean, you would just never, the way the narrative is presented, it's always, the focus is mainly always on the South. And you learn something new every day. And this was several years ago that I learned it, but I appreciate the work that you're doing to bring that history to light, that New Jersey was not this place like, oh, get to New Jersey, you're going to be fine. It was already, I mean, it was here. It had to do with land, and it was about money. And it was just, it's sad when you read it. It really is. And a lot of people don't want to talk about it. They just don't.
Exactly.
Yeah. And thank you also for naming those counties and the towns so that people can connect and relate to the information. It doesn't sound so foreign.
Oh yeah. And I do want to mention too that slavery was in all 13 colonies, all of them. So we just can't forget about this fact. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. And the role that enslaved people played, you know, that like a lot of people may not realize that enslaved people fought sides of the revolution. So and New Jersey has a very famous person who was once enslaved. His name was Colonel Ty. And he actually fought for the British. And they were afraid, our revolutionary soldiers were afraid to come through New Jersey because they knew they had to deal with Colonel Ty. So there's a lot of history here.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Evelyn, you were already conducting research on slavery in New Jersey. At what point did you become a part of the task force at Rider University to remove Van Cleve's name from the alumni house?
It happened back in about a year and a half ago. We started it. I got a phone call, not a phone call. Not anymore. Nobody calls you anymore. I got an email from the president of the university asking me to be on this, to co-chair this task force. Why would he call me, right, an accounting professor? Well, it turns out that I have been pretty upfront and vocal about my work with Sons and Daughters, and so a lot of people on campus know that I'm very passionate about making sure that we never forget about enslaved people that were, you know, many millions of enslaved people in this country, and the horrible institution of American chattel slavery. I make it my mission to make sure we never, ever, ever forget about that history. And so it's kind of well known on campus. And I got that phone call or the email, and we formed a task force. My co-chair and I formed this task force. And it's just really funny how things work out, right? So, you know, someone told me 10 years ago that I would be on a task force on a history of slavery, talking about New Jersey slavery. I probably would have said, you're talking about somebody else. But it's just funny how, if you just keep working on your passion, everything comes mm-hmm. together, and that's what happened here. I was really, I'm mm-hmm. very blessed to have been on that, on the task force.
And, you know,
oh,
I think
awesome.
Also that there is a call and a pull. You know, like the last episode that we did, we talked about the whole, you know, our ancestors and wanting their stories to be told. And so sometimes I think that it's not just our ancestors, that if we're in a place, you know, you being at Ryder and to represent the people that were enslaved on that plantation, I think it's orchestrated spiritually. I really do. And I think that, you know,
yeah.
you said, okay, well, if someone had asked me a few years ago, would I be doing this? I probably would have been like, I don't think so. But there is a
okay.
like a call and a pull that draws us, or circumstances or situations, or, you know, this task force, it's the information is presented, and who do they come to? That one person that was chosen and called to do this work. So, you know,
right.
whether
mm-hmm.
we want to acknowledge it, you know, that way or address it that way, I think that you were put there, like you're working there and all. I think you're the one that a long time ago was like, no, their story needs to be told, and Dr. Evelyn McDowell is going to be the one to tell it.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's such an honor to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, indeed. And so the task force had staff, students, alumni, historians, additional faculty, and this was your first task force. What was your experience like?
I had to take a big, big, deep sigh on that one. It was, you know, and I'm going to try to think of some words to explain it. You know, it was exhausting. Well, I can say that off the top. It was very exhausting because, you know, I've been doing this a long time now, talking about enslaved people and what they went through in the United mm-hmm. States. And you, a lot of times you get people to just roll their eyes, like,
right.
you know. And so I'm constantly having to, I'm constantly having to tell people about, you know, these people were human beings, right? And
right.
and I find that there is such a lack of empathy
mm-hmm.
when you talk about enslaved people. It is amazing that that it seems like people just don't think of them as breathing human beings. But, you know, 1865 was not that long ago. I know
right.
people right now who have seen people who were enslaved. So there are people on this planet who've seen people who were enslaved. This just happened. And these people,
right.
what they went through, are just like you and I, you know? I mean, can
mm-hmm.
you imagine losing your baby, that somebody would steal your, take your baby and give
right.
it to someone
right.
else, to sell it to someone else? I mean, I would die if that happened to me. But
right.
this happened to,
yeah,
these, happened to these people every day. People were raped and murdered, and I mean, this
yep.
happened yesterday. But it was exhausting to constantly tell people and remind people that they you know, don't roll your eyes. This really
right.
happened, and you know, to regular people, and it was shocking to know that so many people don't know the history of slavery. You know, some people will get offended when you talk about, you know, what, how you feel, like you don't have any right to feel this way about your ancestors. I mean, my
right.
great-grandmother was enslaved. So,
yep.
you know, but, you know, what the other thing I want to say, it was exhilarating, though, to know
mm.
that here I am, I'm sitting at the table, someone who is descendant of, I've counted at least 35 people in my line, and
wow.
I'm here. I can sit at the table, and I can talk about them, and I can represent them. And
right.
and when people are ready to roll their eyes, I can say, well, wait a minute. You know, these were real people. They were my ancestors. I mean, not those particular ones on this particular plantation. But, you know, we're talking about people who went through the same things as my ancestors went through. So it was, right. And I felt really blessed to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would think that you felt empowered as well.
Yeah.
You know, knowing that you're teaching people, they don't fully understand, and your role and position is, you know what, I'm here to help you understand. I'm here to help you understand. I'm here to teach you what you don't know, and to help you understand that it wasn't that long ago. It's not that far back.
Right.
You know,
right.
My grandmother died at 97, and her grandmother was enslaved. I have a slave narrative for her. So just as you said, it's not as far removed as we think time-wise.
Right.
And their voices are important. And I think given those opportunities to share, we have an obligation. And I'm just going to keep saying this because it was so insightful. It impacted me deeply when Kathy Lynn Marshall said, you know, to do this work and to do the research on our families, or if we're in a position to speak for those that didn't have a chance, a voice, it's not a goal, you know, but it's a mandate to do the research, to document and to share. I'm going to keep saying it. We're supposed to research, document, and share. It does not belong, oh, this is mine. No, we do this work, and then we speak for them. And Evelyn, you know, I stole this from you, and I always say it. So I shouldn't use the word stole. I should say borrow. But when you say the work that we do, this work is spiritual. I have run that in the ground, and I will continue to, because we're called to do it. So I emphasize, you were called to be there, to not be afraid, to not back down, and not to wear shame. A lot of our own people don't want to talk about slavery because it's like, oh, shame. It's not our shame. It's not ours. We are not supposed to wear a coat or feel shame or feel bad about it. We did not choose that. We didn't choose it.
Right.
So
that's right.
Absolutely. And I do want to just quickly say, though, the people on the task force, and I know we'll get to that, they were pretty amazing. I did have some great people that I worked with, but I feel that if you're not a descendant from enslaved people, and you grow up in this country, it is really hard for you to have to really understand, and have the empathy that I have about my ancestors. You know, you just expect other people to have it, but I guess the exhausting part is that most people don't have it. So,
right, but I'll help you. I'll help you get some empathy. Yeah, I'll help you. I'll help you understand it. You know, I worked with someone, and she just didn't get it. And she said to me, well, you know, the Civil War was not about slavery. And I was basically like, you know, and this is, I forget professionalism at this point. I was like, let me holler at you for a minute. And by the time we were done, and by the time she watched a few documentaries on Reconstruction, and I told her to go check out a few things, she actually came back and apologized and said, thank you, I had no idea.
Yeah, right.
So we can help them have a little empathy and understand, because it's not going to ever happen again. So we have that responsibility, too. Like, let me teach you. Let's have a real teachable, moving, impacting moment here, okay? Because you can't say that again to me or to anyone else. Don't ever say that.
It's exhausting, though, don't you think?
It is exhausting,
It's exhausting, yes.
Yeah, but when we get tired, I think one ancestor rises up and says, okay, now go and speak. You've got the energy to do it. And I feel like God empowers us to be able to speak the truth and to correct the narrative, and that, oh, it's not a just get over it, or, oh, that was so long ago. And it's not even that we're trying to take anybody back there. We just want you to understand that it was real, it happened, and we're not going to gloss over it.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, and sometimes I try to tell people, you know how exciting you know it is to when you find out, if you do genealogy work and you find out, wow, you know, my ancestor, you know, went and did some famous thing, and they were, you know, president of some great society or whatever, and they did some wonderful things, and you know, you get excited and you feel that. But us, when we find out that our ancestors were enslaved, that feeling of the anger, it's hard to even explain it. I mean, it just rushes to you.
The range of emotions.
And you need time
range.
To, Yes, it's a range of emotions, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, but at the end of the day, my emotion is love, because they live, and what they went through, they endured it. And if they hadn't done that, I wouldn't be here today. So
it's a lot of resilience. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, you're right. It's just a lot of different feelings that happen. But I think the important thing that I try to get to other people is that when you find out these, you know, how you feel when you find out these great things that maybe your ancestor did, you also feel this sense of injustice.
Yes, right.
And that's another word that I just keeps going on in my head about justice. And mm-hmm. that is something that our country has not given us. And
Mm-mm.
being on this task force, I was able to experience a little bit of justice, and it feels good.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. That's great.
Were there people on the committee that did not think a name change was necessary?
You know what? That's why I said on this committee, this art committee, was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We did not, all of us were unanimous in feeling that the name had to change. I didn't have any pushback at all. And even when the board, because we took this to the board, and the board of trustees for Rider, they were unanimous. It feels great to know that, you know, that you've been around people that were so supportive of something that really needed to happen. So I was blessed. I'm very blessed to be around these individuals. Yep.
That's great. And so can you share, too, like, what you learned from leading the task force and what the takeaways and lessons were?
Okay, what I learned, oh boy. You know, this might sound corny, but I honestly believe that, you know, that United States could be the greatest redemption story ever told to mankind, in my opinion.
Mm.
You know, we have gone to the bottom, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, slavery is at the bottom of, if it's not at the lowest, it's down there. The way
mm-hmm.
they did these people they brought over here from Africa and their descendants for 245 years, if you start from 1619, the colonial period, to when the United States was formed and to 1865, that's 245 years of depravity.
Yep.
And if we can get to a point where we can totally come to terms about this history and not try to, no pun intended, whitewash our history.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't do that and we just look at the depth of depravity that we went to and how we've come out of it. And we've given justice, economic justice, and just justice in period to
right.
all the things that that our country has done, and you know, get to the point where there's forgiveness, there is truth and reconciliation. This will be an awesome redemption story, and we're not there yet by any stretch of the imagination, but we're on our way, and going through having task force like this is definitely on a stepping stone on our way to this place where we can be redeemed as a country. And even now, in my opinion, I know this might be a little big for some people, but I feel that this is a national security, a priority right now, because this is a way that other countries can come in and divide us by,
right.
You know, this history is not resolved. And
very
people
true.
Are using it to today. People are using it today to win elections, you know,
yep.
by making up things like, like critical race theory to make, like, it doesn't mean what they're saying it means. Most of the people who are against it have no idea what it is. We don't even teach
right.
it in school. However, it's a wedge issue that people can use to get power. But if we
right.
resolve this history, we resolve it, it can never be used for to divide us. And again, it can make this country finally live up to the dreams that all of us, all of our founding families dreamed about. And it could get there. So we are, I'm hoping that this history, you know, that people are going to get on these time task force, and people are going to to find all this history, and they're going to tell it. They're going to come on your show and tell it. And that's right. the major, kind of things that I kind of walked away with after being on this task force.
Powerful.
It's huge. It's huge.
That is, that's deep. That's why it's called Speak On It. Speak On It.
Speak On It.
She is speaking. She is speaking. Evelyn has something to say. Evelyn, please share inspiration for our listeners when it comes to challenging and correcting historical narratives, even when most people don't know the history of a place or an event or people. And then just also extend an invitation to become a member of Sons and Daughters of the United States Middle Passage.
Well, I have to tell you, you know, what did they say? Know thyself. I honestly believe that genealogy and knowing who you are is probably one of the most important things a person can do. And,
yes.
Even after I got a PhD, and I'm up in age, finding out who my ancestors were has been amazing. I know who I am. Yes, I am also descended from a European who fought for the American Revolution, and I am descended from those individuals who were enslaved in this
mm-hmm.
country. And when people talk about canceling history, you can't cancel. I can't cancel myself. I don't want
right.
to cancel American history because I want it to be a redemption story. We can never cancel our history because we cancel ourselves. And so we must know who we are. And so that's what I want to tell people. And I know your listeners all love history and genealogy. Please keep doing it. Please keep sharing
yes.
your stories. We need them. The more we know, the more the faster we can get to this place of justice, okay? When you are trying to get justice, you have to know the facts. And you all and the audience out there are all giving us the facts. So please keep doing it.
Awesome. There you go.
Oh,
that's the mandate.
And keep doing it. Keep doing it by becoming a member of Sons and Daughters. I can't leave that
yeah.
out. You know? because we provide a place for you to tell
yes.
your story. This is what Sons
yes.
and Daughters is all about. And when we started it in 2016, actually it started 2013, but we started accepting members in 2016. I had no idea that by being involved with that organization that I could sit on a task force and be able to be a voice for these the people who have died hundreds of years ago, and now I'm able to speak and tell
yeah.
their story. It is an amazing
right.
feeling, and I know many of you can have either done it already. Or will do it. So, and I thank you for
yes,
all your
proud
work.
Proud member
that you're
over
doing
here.
Out there.
Honored. I'm proud to be a member, and I have the utmost respect
yes.
for what you're doing. Yes.
And we're so proud to have you. Thank you. Thank
I'm
you
coming.
So much,
I promise. I'm coming.
All right.
Yes,
all right. I know you are. All right, Sharon.
A lot of other people out there that are coming as well.
Yeah.
So Dr. Evelyn
McDowell, and congratulations on your award from us too, Sharkana.
Oh yes,
and
Janice,
you're a
thank
past
you.
Award winner too. So
yes, here before.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes,
mm-hmm.
I appreciate
thank
it. Thank you.
You
so much. It sits on my desk. I love having it there. It's a great motivator too, and it keeps me inspired. So,
good.
So Dr. McDowell, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for sharing with our listeners. To our listeners, thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to sharing with you during our next segment of Speak On It. And for additional information regarding Dr. Evelyn McDowell, please visit the website for Sons and Daughters of the U.S. Middle Passage at sdusmp.org.
Speak On It is a podcast and is immediately available to listen to at your leisure. Speak On It is sponsored by Bernice Bennett of Research at the National Archives and Beyond, Blog Talk Radio. Thank you.